You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio and joined on the line right now by Neil Ashton, the chief football reporter at The Sun and of course the presenter of Sunday Supplement on Sky Sports ahead of what is a big Premier League weekend. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Neil. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Dave. Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you.
Just before we get stuck into the televised games, we'll go through these games from a betting perspective very shortly, the four televised games this weekend. Let's just reflect on what we saw midweek and managers in the headlines again, I think, to a certain extent, Neil, with Jurgen Klopp kind of ranting at the fourth official after Diego Costa's penalty was saved. And then Jose Mourinho, very abrupt with an interviewer on the BBC after that 0-0 draw with Hull. I'm sure it's something you'll discuss on Sunday Supplement at the weekend, but are managers crossing the line this season?
Yeah, they certainly are. I think, you know, we go back to Wenger and his shove on Anthony Taylor a couple of weeks ago after when Arsenal beat Burnley 2-1 at the Emirates. 4-game ban for that. You know how Mourinho would have felt in the background. It's taken him a little while to have his say, and he's finally got there. I understand. I'm actually quite sympathetic to Mourinho. He knows full well that had that been him, that the punishment, the severity would have been a lot stronger. I do think the fourth officials are put in a very, very difficult position down on the touchline. The pressures are unique down there. Two managers, it's very gladiatorial. And when you compare the salaries of them, you know, whether we're talking about Jurgen Klopp or Jose Mourinho, Arsene Wenger, you've got a guy down there who earns £450. He gets a £450 match fee for standing there and taking that kind of level of abuse. Mm. And I sympathise with them, but I can also understand Mourinho's point that Klopp has probably escaped punishment for his sort of face-to-face confrontation with the fourth official in that Liverpool-Chelsea game. And the punishment for Wenger is far too lenient. I completely agree with him over that.
Do you think those managers are feeling the pressure because of what Antonio Conte is doing with Chelsea this season?
Yeah, certainly the pressure doesn't. It's almost borderline intolerable, isn't it? You know, we push them and push them. They push themselves. The demands are high. The demands are great. There's only one Premier League title to be won, but there's six managers you think they can do at the start of the season. So it's very, very difficult to keep your composure when you've got demands from players, fans, board. You've got commercial sponsors. You know, everybody's desperate for you to succeed, and you're the man who's got to deliver. So it is a very, very difficult environment. They want to be in it. Their ego demands that they're in it. But unfortunately for them, no one's found a way, with the exception of Liverpool and, of course, Arsenal at the start of the season, no one's found a way to take Chelsea apart.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, Neil. We've got four televised games and we start with Chelsea versus Arsenal, the feature match this weekend at Stamford Bridge. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, and Chelsea are a shade of odds against here with William Hill. 21-20 Chelsea to win the game. The draw 5-2, Arsenal 11-4. The enhanced odds, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win, was 19-10. That's now 5-2 here with William Hill. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. I think Chelsea deserved that point against Liverpool at Anfield. They set up in a certain way, don't they, Neil, where they lie deep and don't allow space in behind. And it clearly frustrated Liverpool on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it certainly did. I was quite impressed with Liverpool because they responded and they needed to respond after three defeats in a row. At Anfield, there was an energy about them, there was a zip about them. But of course, when you find a way to get back into a game as they did, you got to then go on and use that momentum and use that spring and use the atmosphere and the energy around the place to go on and win the game. And instead, it was Chelsea who nearly went and did it with the opportunity Costa had with his penalty. Good save by Mignolet. Fair play to, you know, respect to him for that, because he made a pretty big mistake when he allowed David Luiz's free kick to surprise him and stun him a little bit with the lead. So I was quite impressed with Liverpool, but Chelsea have just got this rugged, resolute, determined way and look about them. And, you know, look at the way they had to dig it out in the end, because Eden Hazard didn't play well. He was substituted. I think Pedro came on for him just to try and breathe a little bit, just to find a little bit of a spark, creative influence, and a different player on the field to try to do something. But, you know, Hazard didn't get into that game. But back at Stamford Bridge against Arsenal, that's home for him, isn't it? You know, it's his environment, it's his stage, and that's where the better, the more skillful, more attractive players are likely to shine.
They've now won 8 successive Premier League home games as well, Chelsea, so in flying form at the moment. Arsenal were beaten 2-1 by Watford at the Emirates. Pretty shocking performance that, Neil, and at the end of every match like that, I always think I must go and see Arsenal fan TV to see what's going on there, because those Arsenal fans can rant after the games, and I wasn't disappointed, let's put it that way, Neil.
No, I know. They do get frustrated, they do get a bit angry, don't they? But look, I think that's only the second defeat in the season at home. First one was against Liverpool, the 4-3 on the opening day, when Liverpool were absolutely relentless. But I think the Watford, the circumstances were just a little bit different here. And I think they also... Wenger's explanation is that's what I think is beginning to gnaw away and just beginning to irritate Arsenal fans. Is you're talking about a guy who's saying that Watford didn't have any real impetus after they went 2-0 up. Well, you know, we're talking about Watford here. What are they meant to do? You know, no one or teams of that stature and that pedigree very rarely find themselves 2-0 up against a team of that stature. So what are they meant to do at 2-0? Of course they're going to defend, and they did. They defended with their lives. They win 2-1. I thought it was very respectful of Troy Deeney and the club to dedicate the game and the victory in the manner of it to Graham Taylor, their former manager. I thought it was very dignified and very nice thing to do, actually. But going back to the actual performance and the frustration of Arsenal is, come on, lads, if you want to win a league title, everybody knows. You just know. You have to win those games.
Yeah.
You just have to put them to bed. Straightforward.
What about this game then, Neil? What do you think is going to happen at Stamford Bridge?
Well, I don't think... it's very predictable to say Chelsea, but I just think on this occasion that they're just going to have too much, that they're going to be ready. The preparation mentally will be there with these players, and Arsenal wilt at Stamford Bridge. You know, I think we're talking about a long time since the Kanu hat-trick at Stamford Bridge. You know, those are the sort of golden age, the golden period for Arsenal playing Chelsea. Those days are over at Stamford Bridge. I do think Conte's side will win, but I actually think it'll be a bit closer.
Yeah, Chelsea to win 21-20. If you like Chelsea to win maybe 1 or 2-0, 1-0 Chelsea is 7-1, 2-0 Chelsea in the betting at 10-1. And Chelsea just to win by a goal in the game, if you think it's going to be tight, that's in the match handicap, and it's the tie market there. Chelsea -1 versus Arsenal +1. And that's available at 14-5 if you do think this is going to be a closely contested affair, but Chelsea are just going to edge it. Tottenham versus Middlesbrough is the late game on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff. Tottenham, as you would expect, heavily odds on. Neil here with William Hill, 2-9 to win the game. The draw 5-1 with Middlesbrough in the betting at 12-1. Tottenham held by Sunderland at the Stadium of Light on Wednesday, drawing that game 0-0. They're still unbeaten since losing to Manchester United back in mid-December in the league. But that was a chance for them to make inroads on Chelsea. And the only top team that did was Manchester City. So Spurs will feel slightly, I think, frustrated is the word, with that point at the Stadium of Light.
Well, they ought to be. There's a little bit of vulnerability, a little bit shaky at the weekend when they beat Wickham 4-3, and the manner and the circumstances at White Hart Lane, and they didn't recover. And despite the changes that Pochettino made, again, it's another game, another club where, you know, David Moyes has been talking recently in very negative terms about Sunderland and their fortunes and their future. And when managers are talking that way about their own team, you've got an opportunity to take advantage of that. And Tottenham didn't do that, so there'll be a natural frustration that they didn't take that advantage. They've got the players, of course, and one of the most stylish teams in the Premier League to watch. We know that, but the stylish teams also have to go and dig out wins as well. tricky nights away from home at the Stadium of Light. They're still there to be won, and they haven't done that. So there will be that'll be nagging away at them the last couple of games, safely through eventually to the FA Cup fifth round. But still, things all of a sudden, despite that great run of form that Tottenham have been in, don't look as sharp and as composed at the moment.
Do you think they're lacking a little bit of squad depth and strength, or is there another reason why they've slipped just that little bit way, of a way behind Chelsea now?
It's a tough one, isn't it? It's because they've got such a thick midfield with players like Dembele, Wanyama, they've got Sissoko. They've got such a strong midfield. So it's almost intimidating. It's difficult to get through. There's a lot of muscle in there. I don't buy that argument particularly. No, I know Danny Rose will be missing this weekend, but I don't particularly buy that argument. They've got options. I mean, okay, one or two signings haven't come off. Vincent Janssen, Son's been the hero last couple of games, his last minute goals up at Manchester City, the equaliser there. Also the goal against Wickham last weekend. So he's a bit of a talismanic figure. So maybe one or two signings haven't quite worked off. The Janssen one's very, very obvious. It hasn't. Lamella's missing, of course. But I don't buy that argument. No, I think they've got the squad they want. And sometimes just need a little bit of momentum. I thought the manner that they came back against Man City, particularly when they were 2-0 down, showed a certain mentality and resolute. But at the same time, you still got to put teams to bed, and they didn't do that against Sunderland.
And they've got Borough this weekend. It should be an easy 3 points on paper, but Borough have been pretty stubborn this season, quite tight. Aitor Karanka sets them up in a certain way to frustrate their opponents, and it's worked on occasion this season as well, Neil.
Well, they've got a good defensive record. Problem, you know, the last couple of games, you look at it a bit differently, but they do have a good defensive record. They can't score goals. That's another problem. They've got Patrick Bamford in. It's going to take him time to settle in, to adjust. I know he's played there before, but he just hasn't played games for the last couple of seasons. It's going to take him time. But I do like Gibson at the back, Callum Chambers as well. I do think that they've got a way of playing, a very disciplined way and focused way of playing under Karanka. But they won't stop Tottenham this weekend. Tottenham are just going to have a little bit. They'll be too strong. They've got to have a little bit of time to consider what happened last weekend against Wickham, in midweek against Sunderland, which wasn't good enough. But they'll have time to reflect on that, and then they have to almost recalibrate, start again, go again. And I actually think they will do.
Do you think they'll win easily?
They do, yeah. I think it's just, they're going to have too much at one hand. They have just to be too strong with Kane, with Son, perhaps, Dele Alli as well. Tottenham are still strong going. They are very strong going forward. So despite that Borough defence, it doesn't like leaking goals. But Tottenham, I think, should be good for a couple here.
Tottenham -1 available at 4-6 in the match. If you think Tottenham win by 2-0, that's available at 5-1. Let's look at Sunday's live games, and we start at the Etihad, Manchester City versus Swansea, which is a 1:30 kickoff, and Manchester City are 1-5 to win the match. The draw 11-2 with Swansea 14-1. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 29-20, now 7-4. And Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 22-1. That's been enhanced to 28-1. If only City could play at the London Stadium every single week, Neil, I think they'd be happy, because they clearly like exploiting the space on that pitch and the dynamics of the stadium as well. Crowd not quite on top of you there, and it plays into City's hands, and they've thumped West Ham there a couple of times already this season.
I saw both those games, 5-0 in the FA Cup, and they were very impressive, and then the 4-0. On Wednesday night, when they weren't just impressive, they were spectacular. And they've added another player since then in Gabriel Jesus from Brazil, Palmeiras forward, who scored his first goal. I saw him against Palace at the weekend. He's lively. He chases down opponents. He doesn't give defenders a minute's rest. He's all over them like a rash. He is Manchester City's equivalent of Luis Suarez. That's what they've got. That's what they want. And they've got him. And they've got someone now who's put Aguero in his place, if you like, which is on the substitutes bench. You saw the pictures of Aguero and the frustration. Well, that's the future now, because Jesus has come in and wants to play the Guardiola way, and that's why he's been brought in. So City, it's an intriguing game, actually, because Swansea's form under Paul Clement has picked up. They've won their last couple of games. They beat Palace, so they think they've won three of their last four Premier League fixtures. They're out of the FA Cup. They've just got straight run in now to the end of the season, and bit by bit, it's sort of coming together, but perhaps quicker than Clement expected. They were, though, on the end of it, hiding against Arsenal, the 4-0 defeat at the Liberty Stadium. And that makes me think that in games of when they're playing top-class opposition, that the level of the opposition is going to be too good, too strong for them. The Swansea season is realistically come down to the games against teams outside of the top six, and I think Paul Clement knows that.
Do you think, you mentioned there Gabriel Jesus coming in for Sergio Aguero on Wednesday night. Does that spell the end for Aguero at Manchester City under Pep Guardiola, do you think?
It's the beginning of the end, yeah, because it's just very obvious from the way that Jesus plays that he wants, he's adhering to Guardiola's demands and his tactical demands and the demands of his players, even strikers. So Aguero will never do that. Aguero is never going to play, have that kind of Edgar Davids style energy about his game. He's just there. He will score goals, but will he play the way that Guardiola wants? Will he be that link? I don't think he will. I don't think he will be, because he's been there long enough. Guardiola and Aguero have worked long enough now for them to realise he probably won't be, which is why they brought this guy in. So it's down to Aguero, isn't it? I think the decision's, it's very clear. It's up to Aguero from here. If you want to get back in the team, you've got to work harder and score more goals than the guys in front of you. And at the moment, Jesus set one up on the weekend. I think it was for Sterling, the first goal for City, with a beautifully weighted pass. Set another one up last night and scored one. So he's had a pretty good start to his City career.
Man City 1-5 to win this match against Swansea. You mentioned the work that Paul Clement's done, and it's early days for Paul Clement yet, but it started very well. Manchester City 1-5 to win this game. Do you think they will?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they were so good against West Ham, and they're on it again. That's the thing, is this was okay. I know Guardiola's taking time, and he's admitting mistakes and all that business, but all of a sudden it's coming together for them, and in a very, very impressive fashion. So they will win. They will get past Swansea here, because I think Swansea are looking at games beyond Man City, really, to shape their future and their chance of survival.
What scoreline do you think, Neil?
Well, the way Jesus is playing, I can't see him not being on the score sheet here. So that's one straight away. Then you've got to take your pick from Leroy Sane, Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva. So already into the sort of twos and threes territory.
Gabriel Jesus to score and Manchester City to win, by the way, is 4-6. And Leroy Sane to score is 6-4 in the match anytime. And if you're looking at 2-0, 3-0 Manchester City, perhaps 13-2 Manchester City to win the game 2-0. Man City to win 3-0 is in the betting at 13-2. And the weekend finishes at the King Power Stadium, Sunday 4 p.m, Leicester City versus Manchester United. And the champions, Leicester City, 9-2. The draw, 13-5. Manchester United, 4-6. Start here with Leicester, Neil, because it's a realistic possibility now that they could go from champions one season to relegated to the next.
Yeah, well, they're right in it, aren't they? Losing to Burnley, another defeat for them. It's very obvious that all is not well at the club, that Ranieri is losing control of the players. So they're will be inevitably, after they've played Sevilla in the Champions League, if they haven't got their act together in the Premier League, there'll be a decision to be made of him, because the players are not responding. I can understand why they're not responding, but at the same time, they've got a responsibility as the champions to behave like champions, and they're not doing that at the moment. Their performance, particularly in the Premier League, is just unacceptable. So that is something that that they have to figure out, and they have to figure that out pretty quickly, because otherwise they'll find themselves battling and they're in the dogfight, and they're all of a sudden they're in it. I don't think anyone can question out the results of Palace in the week against Bournemouth, of Swansea winning against Southampton, and Leicester's defeat just drags them into it.
We talked about Claudio Ranieri. He's turned back into the Tinkerman, hasn't he, to a certain extent?
Yep.
Because last season he had that set formation, those 11 players went out and performed each and every week. this time around, he's not quite sure what his starting 11 is. That's the feeling I get anyway, Neil.
The problem is when you win the league as Leicester manager, it's never going to get better than that, is it? That's it. It's never going to get better for the players, for the manager, for the club, the supporters. They've done it. So there is only one way there's only one way you can go from there, and that's down. And that's whether that's down into the Championship is another matter, but it's just you're not going to repeat it again. So you have a lot of difficulties, you have a lot of issues to handle. And I don't think very many managers, I don't know how you're supposed to handle that. The only way to handle it is to prepare for it and to say to your players, look, we will never have it so good. So what do we want to do? Well, what is our motivation? What are we trying to do? And if it is, look, guys, we won't win the Premier League title again. It's impossible. It's to finish in the top six every year. Then I think you have to change that attitude and change the mindset and the direction of the club. But unfortunately, they handed out massive contracts to players and now they're on easy street. They're picking up the money, whatever happens. And you can see that the way they're playing. And I have sympathy for Ranieri because he's trying everything. He's trying everything to get the team to perform again. But it's almost a job that is beyond any manager, I think.
As for Manchester United, unbeaten in 14 Premier League matches, but 7 draws in there, Neil, and that costs you in the long run.
Yeah, it does. Another one against Hull as well. So when you draw those games and when other teams drop points or Manchester City win in the way they did at West Ham, then suddenly you realise the scale of the task in front of Mourinho. It's become even harder, even tougher to find a way into that top four. And the draws, I think they can... It's better than losing, isn't it? That's what I'd say. You've got a base. I mean, I think the wider the base, the bigger the benefits longer term. So he will be looking at that. It would be nice to convert them from his point of view, from draws to victories. But at the same time, the crucial thing is, as a Man United manager, is not to be losing games. So he's breeding a mentality at United where they don't lose. That's for sure. They lost at Hull. They tripped up last week in the second leg of the EFL Cup semi-final. But they'd already... 1-2-0 in the first leg, so they got away with it. But he will inevitably be demanding more. That's the kind of manager that he is. That's the demand at Manchester United. Those are the expectations.
What's the verdict on this game, Leicester versus Manchester United?
Yeah, I actually fancy a draw here because Leicester have got to react. They've got to do something. And it's a big game as well, so you've got to get yourself up for a big game. And if they don't, then you know, you've got to ask some pretty serious questions beyond this one. But Manchester United's record of drawing, they're not the finished article by any means. That leads me to think, yeah, that they'll share a point here.
The draw 13-5 here with William Hill. Neil, are you attending any live Premier League matches this weekend?
Yes, I am at Chelsea Arsenal. Cool. I was just wondering where I was then, but yeah, I'm just turning my attention to that. Yeah, Saturday lunchtime, Chelsea Arsenal. Looking forward to it, yeah.
I think as a neutral, we want Arsenal to win that game because if Chelsea win that game, they're almost out of sight already, aren't they, Neil?
Yeah, come on, you know they've got the constitution. This is the crucial thing. It's not just about having a good team. It's the constitution, the mentality at the side. So Arsenal just don't have those. They don't have those tools. They're not equipped for the 38 game Premier League season. They can win. They can beat Chelsea in one-off matches. Yeah, I don't dispute that. They will. But when it comes to it, when it gets to the nitty-gritty, when you need to put your foot to the floor, Arsenal don't have that. They're just a long way from it.
Neil, thank you for your company on this podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Top man. Have a good weekend, Dave.
Thank you to Neil Ashton for his preview. If you want to follow Neil on Twitter, @NeilAshton_ is Neil's Twitter handle. If you want to follow myself, it's @DKellner. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, to the FWA podcast. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website right now, and we'll be back next week for more chat on the FWA podcast.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.